You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hail cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, Josh. The preamble before we hit record was both of us had made IKEA trips this weekend.
Yes.
Inundated with decisions, right?
Yes.
Decision fatigue.
Yeah.
Now we are looking at finally the Game Week 22 deadline, and it is the opposite. We are fatigued by not making fantasy decisions.
Yeah.
Now is the time. Let's do a pod where we talk about exactly the decisions we're going to make ahead of Game Week 22.
Yeah, is it fatigue? Is it ennui? Is that what I'm ready for the FPL ennui to be lifted. I'm looking forward to. We're gonna have 3 days of matches, Brandon. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I don't know why I skipped Wednesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Game week 22 kicks off. It's been as everyone knows, it was very extended. 2 week game week 21 and then an FA Cup weekend on top of that. So the month of January was basically a month off from FPL. And so I think we're all in an interesting spot right now because we haven't really had to make a lot of decisions. We've been thinking about what we're going to do, but I haven't actually like go in and make a, I have not gone in and made a transfer in several weeks, right? So go in, make transfers. We all have like 10 million in the bank, right? Because most of us don't have a Haaland or
Salah. We're very liquid.
Yeah, we're all very liquid, and now it's time to make some decisions ahead of Tuesday's Game Week 22 kickoff. So this is going to be a pretty short pod, pretty focused on Game Week 22 itself. We are also going to talk a little bit right at the top here, actually, about the blanks and the doubles, because it's in some ways, I don't know how many decisions you have to make ahead of Game Week 22. Maybe, you know, it's something, start planting the seed a little bit. There's something, I guess the big thing, which I can just talk about right off the bat, is that Liverpool and Luton may double in game week 25. Sort of, there's a logic to that happening. Liverpool and Luton will, because they both advance in the FA Cup, they kind of have this match that needs to get made, and they blank in 26. They have this match that needs to happen at some point. And because of Liverpool's commitments, it's just very tricky to find a window when they can play this game. So we think that will happen, but we don't know for sure. It may be that by the time this podcast goes live, it's locked in. I suspect it won't be. I suspect we probably will have to go into Game Week 22 not knowing for sure what we're doing. And so is it, you know, when there's that much uncertainty, is there like a right decision to make? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, does it, because for me, it's like, if I knew for a fact that Liverpool was doubling at 25, it probably would affect my transfer strategy kind of immediately. For one thing, I'm not sure I would have dropped Trent going into game week 21, although thankfully it worked out points wise. I'm up 4 points. So I guess I'll think of it that way, Brandon. I was up 4 points on that transfer because I brought in a Stupinam. So even if I bring Trent back, even if I had to do it for a -4, we're going to call that even. Okay, we're going to be even Stevens on that one. So, but yeah, what do you think about this Liverpool double game week 25 if it happens?
Well, isn't there's a potential then that Liverpool could blank a few weeks after that? So is the question then going into the game week 22 deadline, what's the risk? I'm going to make a risk, bring in an extra Liverpool player in the hopes that there's a double in 25. Some relatively
It's 26 is when they'll double. Those are the next game.
Right.
Week.
Okay. Yeah. So I tend to think right now we just kind of act rationally. Ahead of double game weeks, I feel like there are so many points up for grabs for engaged active managers that to take a hit to engage that extra transfer going into a double is not as bad as it sounds. And it's probably better to have that extra information farther down the line, as opposed to just trying to predict the future. as you talked about, my move for Bowen ahead of game week 21, and then he gets the injury because I acted too quickly. Now, of course, Bowen comes back, plays 90 minutes, so it's not a problem, no harm, no foul, but there was still a risk that really could have blown up in my face. Now, the Liverpool thing also feeds into the Jurgen Klopp announcement this week.
Right.
And I have a strong feeling about Liverpool after this news that and Liverpool, long-suffering Liverpool, not long-suffering, but long-standing Liverpool fans will say...
They've suffered less than like every other fan base except Man City, I would say.
Sure. In terms of trophies, let's say that as much. Yeah. Now, even long-standing Liverpool fans would say, now nothing is for certain and you always plan for the worst. But I think this Klopp news puts all of the planets in line for Liverpool to win the title this season. And it also, for me, just on top of how well Liverpool have been playing this season, it's not going to stop. They're getting players back from injury. Andy Robertson just played in the FA Cup this weekend. Mo Salah, once he recovers from his hamstring, it's going to be a supernova of a team.
Trent on the bench back today.
Yeah. So this is all kind of a big roundabout way of saying, I kind of don't care about the double blank news with Liverpool because this will be a focus of fantasy points for the remainder of the season starting now.
Yeah, I think it, the thing is, I some ways it feels like, and again, I don't want to get, this is the problem, I think, with when you start to get too into, and this is, and I bring it to the running order, so I take full responsibility here. But when you start talking too much about doubles and blanks, you end up in a position where it starts to, you focus almost all of your energy on preparing for these matches where people play. For anybody who doesn't know, you know, double game weeks are just when a team has to play twice, and blanks are when the match is postponed, either because of, in the case of game week 26, the League Cup final, or because there's an FA Cup match that has to play, that has to take place, and that runs at the same time as a Premier League weekend. It really is tricky. I was trying to compare that. It's very unique to football, right? There's really no other comparison, and there's no American sports equivalent. It's not like there's some Champions League of NFL, and you're like, oh, the Lions are going to play this weekend because they've got to go to Mexico City to play like an NFL match. Or, you know, it's kind of rare the way it happens. And so it takes a little getting used to. And so I think, but in some ways this is all very normal. I think as long as you and I have been doing this, you always have four teams that don't play with the League Cup final. I think the one thing that has changed a little bit over the years is that we have, the Premier League has gotten stronger and stronger, kind of top to bottom. And so you don't see quite as many FA Cup upsets as you used to. And so you tend to see Premier League teams making it further and further into the FA Cup, which I think does create more blanks, right? More game weeks where you can't play. Because all it takes is one team, right, to not be able to play for that entire match to not be able to take place. Yeah. We have seen in some years when, like, especially during the COVID seasons, where there was so much chaos that they would literally just take a match. Like, it was like, you know, usually it'd be like two kind of bottom table teams that just had to play at some point, and they would just basically pluck that match into a game week, just move it in, right? Just because, like, it had to get played at some point. I think in some ways we're going to be in a kind of more normal space now, which is your kind of typical blanks. I guess we'll have a couple more, right? Because we had Man City. Well, actually, that one's already scheduled. That's for game week 25. I don't know if anybody can even follow this. It's so complicated to talk about this stuff. But like, so we have one already, which is Man City and Brentford. That match, they play twice in 25, and that is because of the Club World Cup. And that took place in late December, and that's why that match was postponed. Sometimes I feel like it is useful to give a little bit of context here, right? So that's why you have a double in 25, because of the Club World Cup. And game week 26, Chelsea, Liverpool, Luton, and Spurs all don't play, and that's because of the League Cup final. Chelsea and Liverpool are playing in that final. I think that's going to be a really fun match, by the way, especially like you said, the Klopp news sort of kind of looms overall now. Right. And it sort of, it does feel like a bit of an extra motivator. I don't know. The big wild card to me I guess with this cup final, with the double in 25, is whether we want to, whether Sol is going to be back, right? I mean, we suspect he will, because he's just not known as a player who's especially injury prone. He is on the wrong side of 30, Brandon, as are you and I. So no shame in that, but we're not professional footballers, so it's not as important for us. We can just age as ungracefully as we want. And hey, you know what? I never have hamstring injuries. I just go about my day. So maybe I'm actually doing better than him in a lot of ways, yeah. Brandon. And you and I can talk about that more later, how much better I'm doing than Salah. We should maybe do a section on it. You know, let's postpone that for now though. So the situation is that we might have another double in game week 25. We shall see. Brentford, Man City do double in 25. That'll have a direct impact on my transfer strategy for game week 25. Chelsea, Liverpool, Luton, Spurs all blank in 26. And I mean to repeat myself here, but just kind of to put it all back together. And then in game week 29, we got a whole lot of blanks coming up, Brandon. Could be as many as six, possibly even seven, one blank. And so my kind of initial thought is just, okay, I'm just going to free hit. Like I've tried to do the cute thing in the past where I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to get by with seven players or whatever, you know? And then you're like, but that sort of means I'm gonna have to spend all of my transfers in the several weeks leading up to it on players that I don't really want, right? In order to have enough points for one game week. And so my inclination right now is just a free hit in 29. Again, we're talking about game week 22 in this pod, so I don't want to go like crazy here with too much predictions. And again, and I'll give full credit to Ben Krellen here once again, as we always do, because his specialty is sorting the stuff out, and he does an excellent job at it. So you can go and find him on the hub and other places and get a really nice kind of rundown of everything that's going to happen. But at the moment, I have relayed to you on this pod with your help, Brandon, exactly what we know so far. Okay. So that's what we know. And we'll see. And I think the one thing we haven't talked a lot about yet, and maybe because of the Haaland situation, is that Man City have a double coming up in 3 weeks, right? Like that's big news. Like that is a possible triple captain territory move. And we end up having a double. I mean, like if Liverpool and Man City both double in 25, that is suddenly one of the most important, if not the most important game week of the season.
But don't you think nobody's talking about the City double in game week 25 because many reasons. A, no one would ever invest in Manchester City defense because they're terrible. They've got five clean sheets on the year and there are no points. Their attacking returns are few and far between.
Yeah, exactly.
And on top of that, the rotation is a nightmare. So then, you know, the double for City is always caked in this sort of like, will they, won't they play?
Yep.
Haaland is the main reason why I'm starting to get more excited. Erling Haaland, Nordic meat shield.
Braut Haaland.
But he's so soon back for injury. Now, he could come back in such scorching hot form heading into game week 25 that it'll be irresistible to not to triple captain him. But as it is, we haven't seen much of him in the last month plus, and what we did see of him prior to the injury was he was not scoring the way he was. City just wasn't producing the same attacking rate that they were last season. So I just think a lot of people are going to be very hesitant to invest in and then chip on City in that game week 25. And then Brentford on top of that, who also double in 25, have the worst possible double game week lineup with Liverpool at the G-Tech, and then they play at the Etihad against City. So even though Ivan Toney is back, it's just like zero appeal for Brentford assets at the moment.
Well, I will tell you this, Brandon. I will almost certainly be doubled up on Man City, but it'll just be some trio up front. I will probably all end up with the same trio, to be quite honest. I'll probably have Foden, KDB, and Haaland if he's healthy. But I want to table the Haaland, the KDB talk, because I want to talk about him more in the actual game week 22 preview. So that's where we are, though. I mean, do you have any final thoughts on the FA Cup weekend? Fulham got close, but didn't quite get there, did they? It was sort of late.
Sure, they took Liverpool to a draw in the League Cup, and then they kind of took that ineffectuality into the Newcastle FA Cup match and lost 2-0. There weren't too many surprises. I think the big takeaway would be on Saturday. It was Friday when there were all these draws. So Forest drew against Bristol City, so there'll be a replay there. Chelsea played Aston Villa to a 0-0 draw. There's a replay there. So you've got three Premier League teams that then have to sort of like suffer through another fixture and the fatigue that comes along with that. I guess Chelsea is really the big flag. We're kind of all falling away from Aston Villa assets anyway. I don't think we learned a ton from the Spurs-Man City match. I mean, City really kind of, as they typically do at White Hart Lane, struggled to score, but they finally... When City struggle, who scores, Josh? It always has to be Nathan Ake, doesn't it?
Right. Nathan Ake or possibly... oh my gosh, what is the midfielder whose name is suddenly escaping?
Like Bernardo Silva? Rodri. He will come through. Yeah. I guess like if you're thinking about what type of rotation can I glean from the FA Cup fixture against Spurs, Oscar Bob on the left, no Grealish, Foden and Bernardo also in the attacking midfield, so no Doku. Yep. There on the bench, you had De Bruyne, you had Grealish, you had Doku. I mean, the FA Cup, it just kind of came and went. I don't see much to apply to our decisions for Game Week 22.
Yeah, Jota started today. I know you've been looking at Jota as a possible transfer for Game Week 22. Started, did score. I guess you wanted him to start. I don't know. It's sort of tricky.
Not play the full 90.
Not play the full 90. He didn't play in the second leg of the League Cup semifinal. So he is not, it's not like he's on 180 over the last 5 days or something like that. So, you know, he'll almost certainly start. I think it's just, and this is something, you know, if Liverpool do double in 25, it's something we're going to have to talk about a little bit, because there's just a lot of there's a lot of rotation up front. And I mean, honestly, maybe the safest player is Darwin Nunez. And you and I are going to have to reckon with that, Brandon. Do I feel good about it? No, of course I don't. Do I want to have him on my team? Obviously, I don't. Do I think he's kind of fun in a sort of chaotic sort of way? Chaotic neutral, or what is that, like that chaotic
bad, chaotic good, neutral? Where do you put him on the where do you put Darwin on the spectrum? I think the best thing you could say about Darwin right now is he's risen from chaotic bad to chaotic neutral, and I think a lot of people listening would argue that he's chaotic good right now. The sentiment around Darwin is so much more positive over the last few weeks than it was previously. The blank in 26, I think, is the roadblock for Darwin. And that's where you get that bias of like, I'm willing to take a flyer on a player I like in Diogo Jota and figure out what to do with the blank. A player I don't like in Darwin Nunez, maybe I'm going to blame the blank on me not getting him in.
It's hard. It's just hard to like, it's going to be very tricky with that blank. I think, well, you know what? Let's we've done enough blank and double talk right now. Double talk. I like that. We've done a lot of double talk, Brandon. We've we've talked our ourselves specialty. Into corners and out of it over the course of this pod. I want to get into. I think this is a pod where we've had a lot of fun today, Brandon. But I think it's time for us to talk about Game Week 22. Get down to brass tacks. But first, I want to do a quick shout out to Patreon. Thank you all to our Patreon supporters. We did a fun Patreon YouTube live. You're going to be seeing more YouTube stuff from the cheaters. You and I have been working on our thoughts on YouTube, possibly even making this very podcast that you're listening to, the main feed podcast, a YouTube podcast. So, you can listen to it now on YouTube, but you can't see our beautiful faces mugs. Printed and so our mugs. So we're talking about doing that, more to come on that front. However, I want to say thank you. And by the way, we also had a special appearance from Q. My 7-year-old Q joined us on the pod, so that was fun.
Not the villain from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
No, the final four letters of their name have been redacted. But Q joined us on the pod, and that was a lot of fun. So thank you to everyone who supports the podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Say thanks for what we do. You can join our Discord. And there was a suggestion from Nick, Patreon supporter, said, I am struggling a little bit with motivation. This is what these are his words, not mine. He says, could we do a second chance league? And I know that like the Premier League, the FPL does this, but it's like 9 million managers in it.
Who cares?
So it's like yeah, great, wow. Yeah, I lost it to somebody who hasn't made a transfer in 16 weeks. That was super fun. I have decided that this is a good idea and that we should do it. I think sometimes when people do these second half leagues, though, they make the mistake of doing it when the festive fixtures are still happening and it's too chaotic and people forget to join. So I took a quick look before we started potting, Brandon, at the calendar. And I have decided that we are going to do a second chance league for Always Cheating Patreon supporters. And we're going to do it starting in game week 24. Okay. Game week 24. There's a full week between game week 23 and game week 24, right? Game week 23 is February 3rd. Game week 24 kicks off on February 10th. So you have 7 days to actually join this thing. It's not like one of these chaotic, right? Because if there's like midweek matches and no one's joining the league when you've got like a day to figure it out, it's too chaotic.
I got stuff to do. I'm busy.
Yeah, exactly. So we have, game week 24 is when we kick it off. And I think I like this too, because there'll be 15 full weeks between game week 24 and the end of the season, right? So that's a nice clean number, 15 weeks. It's like, honestly, NFL fantasy is typically 15 weeks long as well. They don't typically do the last couple of 15 or 16, but they don't usually do the end because it gets a little chaotic. It's kind of like the Premier League itself. You get a lot of rotation and things like that. So we'll do a 15 week second half league. And Brandon, what should the prize be for this league? Should we
how about an NFL away? Jersey of your choice?
Not even Premier League, just
we should reach out to the NFL and have them sponsor this league as not the second half chance league. It is an NFL style, not an NFL style, but just the time span of.
I like this. How about we'll do what's that like kit website, the like where you can
buy worldsoccershop.com.
Yeah, World Soccer. Yeah. So maybe the rule is you can have anything as long as it's not a Premier League. Like we're going to force everyone to branch out here. So you want an MLS jersey? Great. Sure. You want rugby? Love it. And and maybe you and I will get whatever the winner gets as well. Would that be kind of fun? And then you and I can
like it.
If you want us to rep your like local club, or you want us to, you know, whatever team, if you're like a Chicago Bulls fan or whatever, we'll do that too. So that'll be kind of fun. And we'll take a picture of it and we'll share it with.
So let's call it the second half Premier League, non Premier League chance league.
I like it. What I like about it is how elegant it is. Maybe we can find an acronym for it, you know, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of thing. And we can use that. So we're going to do that for all of our Patreon supporters. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. We'll post about this ahead of, multiple times ahead of Game Week 24 to make sure everybody gets in. But that will be, so basically the way that league will work is it will only count your points beginning of Game Week 24. You won't have to start a new team or anything like that. It's just going into game week 24, whatever team you've got, you start at zero and it'll go from there until the end of the season. So for anyone who's never done a second chance league, it is a great way to get motivated. And so if you have a sibling or a family member that you've been trying to coax into doing fantasy, maybe this is a nice kind of yes and no. I mean, if you're joining right now and then someone's got to explain blanks and doubles to you, it'll probably go about as well as it did with you and me at the top of this pod, but that is a possibility. So anyway, patreon.com/alwayscheating where you can go to support the podcast. If you're already a current patron, we'll make sure that you get into this league as well. Let's take a break, Brandon. We'll talk about game week 22.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, Brenner, back. Game week 22 kicks off on Tuesday. Five matches on Tuesday, three on Wednesday, two on Thursday. Oh, Brandon, this is always tricky because I have meetings throughout all of this, and I'm going to have to invent, I don't even know, multiple dentist appointments. And I'm gonna be like, oh, yeah, they had to go in. It was a deep clean. You ever had a two-part deep clean, by the way, at the dentist?
I have, yes.
It was brutal. Like, yeah. He was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's like it's so deep you got to do one side and come back for the other. And
I assume that it was brutal. Because I was such a great patient and they really loved having me in. They're like, let's concoct an excuse to get this guy back sooner rather than later.
It was so brutal. I never want to do that again. I'd rather just have rotting teeth, I think, than go through that again.
Here's what you do. For people who work remote, you ever on a video chat with somebody who clearly they're looking at a computer screen that their camera is not tied to? So they're looking away from the camera, right? And they're like looking at a spreadsheet and talking to you and you're kind of off to the side. But that works because you're all working. So I think you can pretend to be that person. What you're looking at is actually the TV or something like that. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You pretend like your second screening a spreadsheet, but it's actually a Premier League broadcast.
I know. I've got to be in the office for two of these days too, so it's going to be extra tricky. But you know, you and I are used to that from the old days. You know, just you get that phone, you flip it over, you have your headphones in. Yeah, it'll be fine. It's all fine. Yeah. All right. So anyway, they kick off on Tuesday, and it's kind of an interesting mix of matches. I guess the marquee one is Liverpool Chelsea because Chelsea can beat anybody. I mean, they're just all over the place, right? I mean, the League Cup semifinals showed you exactly how all over the place they are, right? Going down 1-0 and then scoring six in the second leg. So you could really, we could kind of see anything in that match, which is, you know, from a kind of neutral fan perspective, a lot of fun. So I think the big match obviously is Man City hosting Burnley. You know, just looking at your squad though, what are your decisions ahead of game week 22? Like what are you trying to fix? You know, we talked a little bit about this on the Patreon pod on Thursday, but I don't know if you've had any more clarity or feeling any different about anything that you're thinking through right now.
Well, I have two things that I need to fix. One is my defense, where I have Levi Colwell, where I don't feel like he's assured of minutes and he's not a driver of big points. Additionally, I have Pau Torres at Villa, who is a perennial injury doubt. So, and I think because of his injury situation, it's Pau Torres out for a Stupinan or Trent Alexander-Arnold. And the blank news does, you know, it has some sway, but I'm going to stand by sort of what I said at the top of the pod about how I think Liverpool are just going to be such a juggernaut for the rest of the season that I might be willing to ride that blank in game week 26. Yeah. So that's issue number one. And then I am considering a -4 to get some more firepower in my midfield. Cause right now the starting four across my midfield is Cole Palmer, Saka, Bowen, and Sterling. And Sterling to either a City mid, maybe De Bruyne or Jota is definitely a strong consideration for a -4. That leaves me sort of, I feel like I have to be content with my front three with Alvarez, Solanke, and Watkins, though the imminent return of Haaland, where Pep has come out and said that Haaland is in good enough shape to get minutes. It didn't seem like he was intoning that Haaland would start against Burnley, but we could see some sort of a substitute appearance against Burnley. So obviously not a priority heading into the game week 22 deadline, but who's going to become Haaland, and then who potentially could become Darwin Nunez if that 25 double does arrive, or if we just really want to go all in on Liverpool. So that's sort of like secondary goals are to reshape my front three, but primary goals for 22 is number one defense and number two, possibly a hit in the midfield.
Yeah. I would feel good about going Jota myself if we get confirmation of a 25 double.
Yeah,
I would say that's that would feel like a strong move. I'm in an interesting position right now. I have zero Liverpool players because I dropped Trent ahead of game week 21, and obviously I don't have Salah either. So obviously, if they do double, I'm undercovered in a big way. I have two Man City players already. And so this is where it gets a little bit tricky, because I have Odegaard who's done nothing. Saka's done nothing really either, but I have Odegaard and Saka. It feels like a lot. However, it also doesn't feel like I could certainly get by with starting Odegaard away to Forest. I don't see that as being like a match where Arsenal are going to be held to less than a couple of goals in that match. Right. So holding him for a week would be okay, and hope that I get a little bit more information about what's going to happen. And, you know, with some of the doubles, because I already have Foden and Alvarez though, if I decide to bring in I don't know that I want to be doubled up on Alvarez and Haaland anyway, because with KDB back, I just don't know how often we're going to see Alvarez, KDB, and Haaland all starting at the
Alvarez
same time.
Has got to go at this point. Yeah. And it's it's honestly been a long time coming.
I've had him every week since my wild card, and there's always been a feeling like, oh, it's probably time to drop.
Yeah.
And then the Haaland injury obviously came, but I can't drop Alvarez ahead of 22. I mean, he's got to be a lock for 22, right? I mean, I would not expect he's captainable. I would not expect Haaland to start this match or possibly even make the bench, right? I mean, we'll see. Like, you know, the thing is, because there are two matches, there's the midweek match and then the weekend match, I think that there is, you don't necessarily need to even have Haaland play this Burnley match, right? Like, you could wait until the weekend if he's not quite ready yet. KDB and Trent are both kind of in an interesting spot, right? Because Trent, you would expect him to come back and start at midweek, but it's like because of the weekend match, does he start both of those? Like, is he in that spot already? Does KDB start both of those? right? Like, we haven't seen KDB start twice, two times in a week, like since last year, right? So suddenly, is it worth having an 11 million player who, I mean, obviously we saw in the Newcastle
he
match.
Says himself, Josh, in public, I am not ready to start a match. So, you know, it's all of these doubts right. from our own experience and the old man's own words.
Exactly. So it's, so part of me, so I'm sort of, part of me is like, maybe I just don't make any moves right now. And I just sort of keep my, you know, like sort of just like hold my transfer and wait for a little more information. I don't like that because that is a more passive style than I've been trying to play the last few weeks. The last few weeks I've been really going for it, right? Like just making a transfer that maximizes that game week. And I'm willing to take hits to do it. And it has, whether it's coincided or directly led to a like big rise in rank, I have been, it feels correlated to me. Right. And so it's like, I want to keep that kind of momentum going. And I don't, and so Odegaard to somebody feels very appealing. Now it's kind of interesting when I plug my team into FPL review, free plug here, happy to do it. They suggest Richarlison, which is an interesting option. And Richarlison, they host Brentford at home. They have a nice 4-week run. Brentford, Everton, Brighton, Wolves. Then they do blank in 26, however. And they don't double in 25 either. And so, and I don't really love Richarlison. And so it's a little.
I don't
so
like love that, that run. I don't, feel, I, no, I don't think that's okay. A great run. It's, I mean, it's better bad. Than most, but it's not like, wow. It's not as sparkling as, say, Brighton's run, Luton, you're Palace, right. Spurs, Sheffield United.
Yeah, let's take these one at a time, right? Brentford, Brentford is Brentford's fine. Brentford's defense is ridiculously bad. Yeah, and Everton away, they have been good at home, but this is Everton literally lost 2-1 at home yesterday to Luton Town. So I don't know how much we can like how much of a fortress we can call Goodison at the moment, right? Brighton at home. Probably a good fixture, but Brighton have also tightened things up, right? They have two clean sheets in their last two matches. I mean, they did, I think they, was yesterday's match like a 5-2? It was kind of a crazy, they were the ones that scored five, but still. And then Wolves at home, and Wolves are another team that have played a lot better defensively in the last several weeks. And
you'll remember the return fixture, which we watched from the cozy confines of Selhurst Park Hospitality, and it was a 2-1 victory late.
Forgot about that. Wasn't that like a 1-0 until like the 90th minute or something like that?
It's
like a
crazy. Yeah, and then Wolves just sort of like took the handbrake off, you know.
Yeah, that was like, the Pedro Porro experience where you're almost always going to get something from him, but it's always going to come with like some weird, it's like
dirty
a
dirty returns
when Joaquin Phoenix, you know, shivs him with the knife, you know, right before he puts the armor on.
That was an honorable death.
It was an honorable death. That's Porro. It's like, you might win, but it's a, it always feels like, you know, it doesn't feel like a total victory.
Yeah.
I don't know if that metaphor actually makes
Not
sense
necessarily. Right. Neither of our metaphors really worked in that situation.
No, but we're having fun with it, Brandon, and despite it being totally wrong. So I think I don't actually know why. I really wish we had a little more clarity on whether Liverpool were going to play twice in 25 and. I suppose I'm just going to wait until Tuesday and hope that I get a little more information. My inclination at the moment is to just kind of go for it with Kevin De Bruyne and just bring him in and hope that we get some starts out of him. But I really want to get a sense from the forums. And this is just me being honest right now, right? Like I haven't made a decision yet. And I don't want to sound like I'm equivocating too much, but I don't want to lock myself into a decision for a couple more days, right? Because it'll basically be the Tuesday, in our case, early afternoon, right? When we've got to lock our teams in. And so typically you'll get some press conference information, you'll get some team forum stuff, you may get some leaks about lineups. So I'm just going to kind of wait a little bit. I also, in my situation, I have Gabriel, who is still flagged as well, the Arsenal central defender. And whether he plays or not is a big factor. I'm also a little I have Isak as well, still haunting my team a little bit, Brandon. And I can't quite tell what's going on with Callum Wilson. Like, not only is there like a chance that he might be transferred out, but like, I know that he's been battling, like he didn't even make the 18 for Newcastle in yesterday's match. How much longer? So he's got this calf injury still. So we have to assume he'll still, if he didn't even make the 18, I can't see him starting at midweek for Newcastle, right? So I probably just roll with Isak for one more
easy
week and hope
easily.
I hope I get away with it. So I think like my instincts tell me, oh yeah, and then they play Luton on Saturday too.
You're
so
fine. Isak is not a problem.
Yeah. So my inclination right now is honestly to roll, which again, I explain why I don't love that. But when in doubt, just burning a transfer to do it does not feel like, unless I see like clear upside here. The one thing is that when I look at my bench, I literally don't have a healthy player on it. So there's a little bit of risk there. Like if one single player comes down with any kind of injury, I may have no bench options at all. And that is a little suboptimal, right?
You know, I was thinking about Liverpool, and you can say a lot of things about Klopp and the emotional roller coaster they're about to embark upon. The upcoming final that Liverpool and Chelsea are going to play, if you look back at all the results from recent years for Chelsea v. Liverpool, the start of the season, Chelsea hosted Liverpool to a 1-1 draw. Prior to that, and let's go all the way into the COVID season. I'm working backwards, Josh. The results of them playing together, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0, 0-0, 2-2. Now we're in January 2022. 1-1, 0-1, 0-2. It's generally not a fun affair.
No, however, it's weird. It's weirdly unfun usually when they play each other. I don't know why that is exactly, but yeah.
And why is it? I still have this strong feeling that Liverpool are just going to actually rip them to shreds on Wednesday. Clearly, that can't be based on any historical reference because it's not even been true under Pochettino at Chelsea.
Oh, totally. But there's the Klopp factor now. There's the Salah being out. I think it's a hard one to predict. I would expect both teams to score. I'll say that much. I think that I don't see Liverpool keeping a clean sheet in that match. So that's something to think about, I guess, if you're looking at Trent as a possible option.
So it's like there is the ultimate passive move is for a fantasy manager who has Raheem Sterling is to keep Raheem Sterling and say like, maybe.
Is it in his hometown club?
Yeah, so you know they're speaking of history there it is right there, and that's the position I find myself in. That is like the ultimate Brandon move of, well, you know, Raheem, maybe you'll do something.
You know, I don't think you should. I think you should take a -4. I really do. I think you should grab a defender and a midfielder and just, I think you need the juice. I think you need the juice to have two fresh players going into midweek. I think you need to be like fired up a little bit.
I think you're right. There needs to be a spark because there ain't no fire in this team right now. And I'm the manager, Josh. I'm the manager. I need to bring that fire into the locker room. So I agree with that. Yeah. All right. So those are our teams. What else do we need to consider?
Yeah, get Trent and Jota. That seems like fun. You know, just risk it.
If I do anything, I think I'll differentiate between. I'll get maybe one Liverpool, one City guy, I think is kind of how I'm leaning.
So we are in an interesting spot right now with captaincy. It's no Salah, no Haaland, no Son. Watkins out of form, other players that we might consider. So the captaincy is pretty wide open this week. If you look at some of the stat tables, Richarlison is way on top. Saka, who just somehow, we've talked about this before, kind of the worse he performs, the higher he seems to go on the stat tables. I guess I should say performs from a fantasy perspective, I suppose there are things. But also, my brain is telling me that he's out of form. But I don't know. I guess the underlines are still there, and I'll acknowledge those. And I don't want to sound like old man yells like cloud here, but it's to me, Sokka is not a captain option. He's not somebody I would consider. Richarlison, I guess if I had him, I might consider him, but my inclination is to look at that Man City match and try to find the right player to captain mm-hmm. for that match. Mm-hmm. And so at the moment, my bus team, Brandon, if I get hit by a bus in the next 2 days, I am going to be going into Game Week 22 with Phil Foden captain, who I don't think I've ever captained in all of his many years in fantasy. I don't think I've ever once gone into a game week with him captain. But my feeling is just that he's going to – I just can't see him not starting this match, right? I don't know if that's double negative, but I think he's very, very likely to start this match. And it just feels like the kind of match where he's going to be kind of looking forward to beating up on a bad team, right? Like he's just going to kind of go for it. Is, you know, should we worry about Vincent Kompany going back to his old squad? Is there any
He might suit up for this one. You never
might
know. Suit,
it might help. Yeah, exactly. So, but I think that I could see, well, that actually is interesting. I mean, just because I brought it up, maybe Pat doesn't pour it on as much because it's Kompany.
Nah,
is that a thing? I don't know.
That's a great way to show respect is to pour it on.
That is true, actually. I mean, Man City have slaughtered Arsenal a few times under Arteta, so that's. I think we can put that one to bed. But yeah, I think that I would probably, my inclination would be to go Foden because I think his ceiling's a little bit higher. Alvarez, who I think is very likely to start, probably very likely to get an attack in return to that match, but just seems in general to have a lower ceiling. And then KDB is the wild card option, right? Because it's just not clear to me if he'll even start this match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. We were saying in KDB, if he doesn't start, could potentially be like the worst pick. Unfortunately.
Or we'll get another Newcastle thing where, right, he doesn't start and then he just comes on and scores 19 points anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of like fear-mongering there.
Yes, and I can't play that way.
You know, he still remains a fun and interesting pick. But I am on a Julian Alvarez captaincy right now on my bus team. He is my only City player, so I do agree with you that City Burnley fixture is the one to target. I did put the vice on Bukayo Saka, just, you know, gotta respect the stats
and respect the minutes.
What a great way to tip your hat to stats is just like a completely meaningless vice captaincy.
Yep,
so,
yep.
Now vice captaincy has come into play at earlier parts in this season, so fair enough, but I think that's the way I'm gonna play it. If I did bring in Jota, I mean, speaking of lack of respect, I have no respect for the Chelsea defense, especially at Anfield. I think a Liverpool attacking captaincy on Darwin or Jota has some legitimacy to it as well. I think that might be kind of like the curveball hipster captaincy pick, maybe.
I think that's fine. I mean, Richarlison, I suppose, has to fall into that hipster captaincy because I don't think he's going to be heavily captained. And he's certainly at the top. He's at the top of these stat tables. I think I do think, though, that Man City, it's just because it's hard to pick the right option, right? Or like hard to feel like really confident that you're picking the right option. Sorry about that. Hard to feel confident you're picking the right option. I think that you still have to go for it because it feels like that could be like a 5-0 kind of match.
Goals. Let's see some goals. Let's see some bloody Premier League football, shall we?
Yeah, I think. I mean, what about Bowen? Would you give any thought to him? I mean, I know it didn't work out the first time you had him, but you know, West Ham hosting Bournemouth. I mean, I do see goals in that match.
Possibly. I have enough respect for Bournemouth to not think that. And West Ham have not exactly been high flying of late. I think having Bowen feels like enough to me. I mean, Bowen's ownership percentage right now, just overall in the game, is under 27%. I feel like to captain him in an uncertain run of form for the team and the player just feels like too big of a risk without the promise of a big upside.
Yeah. So just to like put a button on the KDB thing for a second, We don't feel great about him as a captaincy option just because of the risk of him not starting. But does that totally take him out of consideration as a transfer for you?
It just, okay, so, you know, we haven't mentioned the always cheating brand yet, Make Fantasy Fun Again. Mm-hmm. I feel like the fun aspect of De Bruyne can outstrip the pragmatism that you might feel about him. I think just to be like real and shrewd, De Bruyne, he feels like just like larded with risk.
Larded. But, that's a fun word. I need to use that more often.
Yeah, let's do that. So it's this is your Make Fantasy Fun Again. We're larding the always cheating universe with fun.
Okay.
So I think KDB passes the transfer test because he's just going to be bloody fun to have. It's my second use of the word bloody on this podcast.
Okay. I think you're right. I think he's super fun to have as well. They double in 25. So I don't know. Are you going to get? It's just like a proceed with caution sort of thing. Like if you bring him in and he doesn't start, you can't. Go. I mean, I guess you can do whatever you want, but I recommend not going onto Twitter or our Discord or whatever and being like, what a disaster. Oh my God, I'm freaking out. Like, you just have to accept that you may not get starts out of him and that he can still come off the bench and do something. And I would say with a midweek match and a weekend match, he's going to start one of those two matches. I think there's a good chance of that. So does he start both? I think that's extremely unlikely. So is
the way to look at De Bruyne is not necessarily in the Burnley fixture vacuum, but also I don't think it's worth picking De Bruyne up for some sort of long view. Like, what's De Bruyne going to do starting now for the rest of the season? Because I think we're going to be having this debate about De Bruyne for the rest of the season in terms of his fitness. So I feel like if you transfer him in, there's two to four game weeks in which you test him and he's meant to reward you. That's how I would view it.
I think that's, I think definitely not long-term, but okay. This is actually something we talked about, I think a little bit on last week's pod, which I think is still relevant here, which is that he effectively creates the slot in your team for a 10 plus million player. Right. So he like exists to get replaced by Son or Salah in a handful of weeks, right?
Wow,
so,
he's like the main character in Never Let Me Go, the Ishiguro novel. He's just like he's cloned to have his organs harvested by that. Son and Salah.
I was thinking maybe it was like a Blade Runner and he only has like a 4-year, life window. It's like he's like a clone. He's don't they like die after 4 years, right?
And sure. So
it's like
Android,
Does Kevin De Bruyne dream of electric sheep? It's a good name for this week's pod, Brandon. If we were, we don't do oblique names, but sometimes I wish that we did. All right. Yeah. Well, this is we're almost done here because I really want to focus on game week 22. We talked a little bit about what's to come. We talked about captaincy. So at the moment, I'm on Foden. That may change, but I kind of like it just because it feels like a fun pick. It's a Make Fantasy Fun captain pick, as long as in the same vein as your KDB Make Fantasy Fun transfer option. Mm-hmm. So I want to do two things here. Okay. One is the MFFA game of the week, Brandon. So if you are busy, you're an East Coaster like us and these matches are all in the afternoon, what's the one match you want to sneak away and try to watch over the next 3 days?
We've been talked a lot about the Liverpool Chelsea match, and I think that really is going to be the one with the most consequence in the table. A consequence would be Villa Newcastle, and that's the one I'm actually really intrigued by because I think both teams are kind of in interesting moments in their form, and Newcastle really need to sort of pick up the pace if they're going to get any sort of European slot. And Villa are also risking kind of slipping away from the top four conversation. That feels like the one I want to watch.
Yeah, I think that is a great pick. I don't really know what we're going to get out of that match. There may not be any Trippier too, right? If he's like, we don't really know, right? He came off injured yesterday.
Yep. He sure did. Yeah, it's kind of crying out as a nil-nil sort of not high flying sort of a match.
Good match to have Isak in then. That'll be fun. or a Watkins for that matter, who's really suffered a dip in form. Yeah. I still may get Tony for 25. We'll see. I mean, I guess Darwin would probably be the preferable pick if Liverpool do double in that
match. I love that as a rallying cry, Tony for 25. It feels like I'm driving by the local Walmart and I see that in the store window.
Tony for 25. Yeah. You think that, or is that like a, it sounds like a bad, like a cheap off brand liquor, doesn't it? Like two Tonys for 25.
Two Tonys. I like that. So, okay.
All right, let's do one last thing here. This is a new feature, Brandon, that I've just made up on the spot here, which is but sometimes this could be useful when it comes to captaincy and defensive transfers. Of these 10 matches, Brandon, what mm-hmm. is the highest scoring match of these 10? And what is the lowest scoring match of these 10? Okay, which match has the most goals and which has the fewest?
You know, I do wonder if Arsenal are just going to put like 7 past Nottingham Forest. In what manner? Who could say? And also, I would assume that Forest would score 2 in that particular match. Yeah. So I'm thinking 9 goals might be the floor for Forest Arsenal.
It does feel like a pretty high scoring match. I agree. I mean, Man City, you'd expect goals, but I it feels like that one's going to be a little more one sided, right? Mm-hmm. And Liverpool, Chelsea, just all that what you were just saying before, it does feel like that match is so frequently a dud. It's hard for mm-hmm. me to think that's going to be like a wide open affair. I think
what
that
about Wolves, Manchester United. Sorry, I just talked over your shout there. Let's come back to my interesting pick. What were you going to say? Spurs?
Well, I was going to say Spurs-Brentford to me just feels like another match that could be really wide open on both sides. I mean, it's almost like cheating to ever even have Spurs in this conversation because it feels like there's always a chance you're going to see 7 goals in kind of any Spurs match. But that one feels like that has the potential to be a pretty high-scoring game.
Yeah, yes, agreed. We finished the game week with Wolves-Manchester United, which I think was 1-0 to start the season. For Manchester United, here we've got the reverse. Who could say what to expect from Manchester United? But this feels like a very low-scoring match.
Yeah, I think that one or Palace-Sheffield, it's hard to see that as an especially high-scoring match either, right? That's a tough watch.
Okay. Yeah. You've heard of pure watches. This is the always cheating tough watch.
All right. Well, that's your pod. We wanted to get this one up and out nice and quickly. So, we'll have another hour and 50 minute pod just around the corner, Brandon. I'm sure of it. So, thanks everyone for listening. Again, thank you to everyone supporting the pod on Patreon. Again, we're going to kick off that second chance league in game week 24. So you got a couple weeks to make your transfers and get ready for that and start your thinking on that. And I think that I actually have already forgotten the name of that contest, Brendan.
It's the second half Premier League, non-Premier League chance fantasy league, I think is
contest.
What we're calling. Contest, yes.
Fantasy League mm-hmm. contest. Yeah. Nice and simple and easy to remember. So that's what we're going to do. It's going to kick off Game Week 24. So if you want to join that, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. By the way, earlier on, Brendan, I forgot to mention Miles. Welcome to new Patreon supporter, Miles. Much appreciated becoming our newest patron. So Brendan, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Yeah, and for the tardiness, we'll throw Miles here in the list. For one week only, Miles. Don't get any big head about this. But also thanks to producers Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wigner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Lazarus Yanos, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Portlock at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Buffalo Wild Wings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Volger Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, Shalin F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Heath Cram, Thomas Tislav, Noah and Louise, Travis Grant, Linus Vennerstrom, Dan Parsons, James C., Matthew Skinner, Fro Jacobson, Brennan, Daniel Hart, Lolly, Ben Coombs, Eric Kite, Gareth H., and Rune Sandberg. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, follow us wherever you get social media. Visit our website, alwayscheating.com. I'm excited to have fantasy back, Josh, midweek or and all. Let's go.
I'm excited to make fantasy fun again. I'm excited to have actual matches that count. I guess I like them. I want the cluster back. I don't like one match at a time. I need 5, Brandon. I'm a child of the, I may be a millennial, Brandon, but I've got a Gen Z heart. You know, I need a lot going on all the time. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and I'll be back next week and Thursday, of course, with our bonus Patreon pod. So talk to you soon. Bye.